Hello, welcome back. It's time for Anya Magliano. It's a goodie.
I'm actually feeling like this will be the most intimate thing I've ever done in my life.
Recycled bin liners.
Yeah.
This is your life.
Yeah.
And it's great.
God, that's bleak. Don't say that. I don't know how public this information is, and I would ideally take it to my grave. Yeah, so I had fleas. I just think there's something deeply, deeply unrebellious about getting your belly button pierced and then ordering a piercing off Amazon. That's pathetic. I probably was becoming aware of beauty and like the idea of how you look.
What a terrible moment that is.
I know, so awful.
That's great that someone called Autumn is telling you to do workout on your toes. That's
yeah,
just,
that's my life in a sentence. That to-do list on the fridge is also, I wrote on it in Sharpie. So now it's just, luckily it was like some stuff I have to do mostly every day.
This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. Welcome back. Here we go, strapping.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But somebody's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love.
Today, we're going to be telling the life story of the brilliant comedian, Anya Magliano. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm actually feeling like this will be the most intimate thing I've ever done in my life.
Yes!
And I've done a lot of intimate things.
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, I think this is, you know, that you have, I'm in your Amazon account.
Mm-hmm.
There is no editing you can do here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have, and you've known me for all of 4.5 minutes now. So this is a big leap.
Yeah, and you know what? I also, I will try not to do this, but can I just give you a bit of context of something that happened regarding my Amazon account recently?
Absolutely.
Which is that me and my boyfriend, we've been together for like 3 years. Like there's enough time that this is all okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of long-term relationship context. Something came through the door a few weeks ago and I said, and it was from Amazon, and I said, something like, oh, guess what it is? And he said something like, oh, I don't know, something ridiculous. And I got upset.
That he said something ridiculous?
Yeah. I took it so personally. And then I was like, well, I like to spend my money how I want. And I just had a full breakdown. Obviously, I was coming up to my period, didn't know. I took it so, I was so defensive. And I told him I was doing this podcast and he was like, okay.
Okay, good. I really appreciate that context. Can we get some tissues, right? Is that possible?
I just don't know, Tom. I don't know why I bought it.
I can see a bell over there. We could get like that bell. And if you ever feel any emotions, just start ringing the bell. We're going to go right back to your first ever purchase, okay?
Okay, I have no idea what this could be.
So we're going back to 2013, 22nd of March, 2013.
2013? You know. I was 15.
Okay.
You're
on Amazon.
How did I have Amazon?
I don't know.
Crazy.
I'm not even sure that is allowed.
Yeah.
But who knows, or indeed cares, for the purposes of the show. Here you are in 2013. You've bought the Solga Biotin 300 milligrams vegetable capsules, pack of 100, for healthy hair and skin. This promotes energy and vitality. And most importantly, Anya, it's vegan. Now, if you could now extrapolate an entire life story from that,
Obviously, when you get to the old age of 15, your hair starts to go.
You've got to look after nails.
You've got to look after the nails.
You're falling apart. You're on the decline from 15 onwards, clearly. That does, because those vitamins do feel like a sort of panic grab as you approach old age. You're leaving youth behind.
Yeah. I'm about to be 16.
Right.
It's only going to get downhill from there.
And you're trying to preserve what you've got.
I think what was actually happening around that time was I probably was becoming aware of beauty and like the idea of how you look.
What a terrible moment that is.
I know, so awful.
Do you think we then try and detox from that in our like 20s and 30s and just try and get off that thing? Because by the 40s you have to detox from that because it's all gone. It's hopeless.
Certainly
in my experience. But I think it's, you're absolutely right. It comes along in your teenage years.
It just slaps you out of nowhere. I remember I was sitting in a cafe with my dad and there was a mirror and another mirror that were like the walls were mirrored. So they made a corner and I saw myself in the reflection of the reflection.
Yes.
And my dad said, oh, that's how you actually look.
What, in the reflection of the reflection?
The reflection, because the reflection is what you always see and that's reflected. And he was like, oh, the reflection of the reflection. It's like when your phone flips it around. And I was like, well, I'm disgusting. I'm a piece of shit. I need to get some biotin in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like when you have that, when your phone camera flips a photo and you go, I've been a troll. I thought I was a model, but it turns out I'm a troll. And all that's happened is...
Do you think it's impossible because technology contributes to that, but still, you know, mirrors, I wouldn't call those technology anymore.
No, those are even before technology, I would say.
But I think it reminds me of the moment when you're maybe on Instagram and you're doing the you maybe hit the thumb the wrong way and by accident you go to the camera and you see yourself. And not all the therapy and all the modern love yourself, hashtag be kind, in the world cannot stop that natural reaction of, I am heinous.
Yeah, exactly. Completely.
But why is that a human instinct? And who, is there anyone on earth who goes, God, I'm so hot?
I don't think so. And I actually think like that specific thing you said of the phone is different because in the olden days, you wouldn't have accidentally opened a mirror like at that angle. No. Yeah. Maybe we just weren't meant to see that angle ever. But I guess it is the angle other people see.
It is.
It is an angle that is available to other people.
And with the phone as well, looking down. So hello, the chins.
Yeah, you know, hello to all 600 of them.
It's a multi-chin experience. And I think that the best thing you can arm yourself with, and maybe the biotin 300 milligrams help this, is if you can have an immunity, because you don't want to, you know, I would mistrust anyone. Mm-hmm. No, not that anyone would ever admit this, but I would mistrust anyone who says, oh, I see a picture of myself and think,
yeah,
he's all right, she's all right. So I think it's a good sign if people go, God, it looks good. But if you can offer up an immunity to that reaction, can you imagine?
It would be a very free life you'd be living.
I think I'd
have got so much done.
Exactly.
I'd have written a book by now, I think.
I wonder if we've unlocked a new superpower.
Yeah.
The ability to not necessarily love yourself, not be disgusted by yourself.
Not be disgusted by it. But then I think it could be a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're wanking on the tube, you know.
Yes, you're right. I was going to go for you're a megalomaniac dictator, but no, wanking on the tube
I think you're ending up wanking on the tube, ultimately. I think the biotin also, obviously, I'm not a doctor. I read that it was a thing to help hair grow faster. I wonder if this was the point in my life when I got a fringe. It could have been the first time in my life that I tried to have a fringe.
Right.
And
now you don't have a full disclosure. You don't have a fringe today.
No. It's sort of I'm growing it out, but I'm constantly in this cycle. I'm always in a cyclical thing in my life about everything, whether it's having a fringe, not having a fringe, caring about how I look, not caring about how I look like. It's just Sisyphus.
Yes.
Forever.
It's forever. Yeah, good. Yeah.
And this could have been the first start of the fringe cycle. This could have been the beginning point where I saw a picture of a girl in a magazine who had, let's be honest, straight hair, completely different hair type to me.
And hate the fact your hair's curly?
I'm somewhere in between. I've learned to embrace it.
Good.
Okay.
Because I've got this in my family. Everyone in my family's got the same sort of hair as you.
Curly really?
Hair. And so many of the girls especially hate it.
It's hard work. And I think no one understands us. No one understands how much hard work. You need to buy loads of shit. And we will probably, it will be hard to avoid how much curly hair stuff I've got on this app, Amazon. But what I will say is, I got the hairdresser, I said, like, can you cut me a fringe like this woman? And the hairdresser was like, well, it's going to look completely different. And I said, that's fine.
Wow. Hang on. Yeah. I've got to stop you there because there are very few people in the world brave enough to go against the advice of a hairdresser. I think a hairdresser could give advice in any situation, like a nuclear war's imminent, get a hairdresser in, because one will go against a hairdresser. But if you've done that, you have my admiration.
Yes, I think weird because I was very shy and sort of not confident as a child, but I wonder if maybe I just got it in my head that I was like, I know I can't leave this. If I leave this without a fringe, my life is going to go worse. Wrong, the other way around.
Wow.
She cut the fringe, obviously straightened it. And then after that, like, it just looked awful and it was always sticking to my head and stuff. So, and then at school, I was so embarrassed about it that I told everyone that she slipped and like cut me a fringe by accident. No, what did I say? I said that someone knocked her and she cut a bit of the hair too short and then she had to do the fringe.
An accidental fringe.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, she was like so embarrassed. But yeah, now I have this fringe, I guess.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't want to claim the idea as
my
own.
What an act of treachery to yourself. God, this is deep.
Yeah, welcome to my life.
Okay, good. All right, we found out about cycles and fringes and hair. We are underway with Anya Magliano. And now I can just see throughout 2013, you know, this is you're a kid. History for Kids, The Illustrated Life of Cleopatra. Cleopatra. Right? 1st of September 2013, right?
Oh, that was for drama GCSE.
Of course. The Rules of Acting. An Actor Prepares. Right?
Yeah.
This all makes sense. And then obviously, clearly, 50 Shades of Grey, the most iconic and addictive romance series of all time. As a package, those books all together, this is you at 15 years old.
You've got to relax on your GCSEs. You've got to have time to unwind, don't you? You've got to have time to unwind. I don't think I ever actually read it. That's the...
No.
Or I think I maybe read it later on, like a lot later on. I think there's something where it's like it was fan fiction of yes. Twilight and then it got changed into a book. And the writing in it is like silly and it's funny. And I think there's a bit of a difficulty from switching between reading something that you're laughing at to something that's meant to be trying to make you feel aroused.
Yes.
Because you're like, oh, I can't remember what it is. She calls her vagina something. She calls her like my something, something ridiculous.
Oh no.
My little lady or something like that.
Right. I mean, it's a...
My goddess. Wow. I think it's my goddess.
Okay.
And you're just like, just grow up.
Oh, it's your fanny, isn't yeah. it? I mean, come on. There's plenty of words available.
Very different book if it was fanny. I wonder, like, when it came out, there were probably a lot of women who read it and were excited by it and kind of made it probably made them reevaluate their sex lives and whether they were like happy.
Yes.
But I don't know if it necessarily would have given them the tools to actually change anything.
No.
Like yeah, it sells yeah, yeah. a fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably a lot of people were like, oh God, maybe I could have this. And then broke up with their partner and then were like, huh? What now?
50 Shades of Grey responsible for a full life change.
Yeah.
Do not read that book if you are in any sort of midlife crisis situation.
Yes,
what
stay
you're
away.
Saying.
Read stay an Actor Prepares.
I bought some books I never read. I bought a stuffed toy without a head. And some junk I'm much too bashful to explain. It's just that Amazon's too easy. Check your history, you'll be queasy. But my mate bought a toaster and I swear he shares your pain.
2014, you have bought a dream catcher, a belly ring dream catcher, like a piercing dream catcher.
Oh, God.
And seahorse dangle clear rhinestones pierced navel stud. The thing is with a lot of these products is they use all the words under the sun to describe them. So I have to instantly
yes.
analyze them and work out what is the important thing. And I don't think seahorse is the most important thing here. Although it might be.
Is it a belly button piercing to go
I
in?
Think so.
I did get my belly button pierced when I was at school.
Painful?
In secret. Yes, and it instantly got infected and I had to take it out and it closed over.
Oh God. Did you go again or did you leave it?
I left it. And also it was mad to get it done because I went to an all-girls school, so we had to wear these like long, heavy skirts and it was just rubbing up again. Oh, it was awful. God. And I did it just because a girl in the year above did it and it was cool when she did it and I just wanted to be cool, but mine got infected.
Quite, yeah, well, you know, that's
life,
isn't it?
That's
how you become a comedian.
Yeah, that is exactly how.
Try and do the cool thing and you get infected.
Yeah.
We are all just scar tissue yeah. of psychological infections. That's what
wow,
comedians
that's
are.
That's beautiful.
That's quite profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Surprised myself there. I might just take a moment. But also, quite rebby, quite rebellious there. Bit of a
yeah,
reb.
I was a little bit rebellious, but not like exactly like how you say comedians are, not the pioneer of the rebellion. I was always like, someone else has had a cigarette and then I would try that.
Or photocopy like, rebel.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Nice. Yeah.
And also, I just think there's something deeply, deeply unrebellious about getting your belly button pierced and then ordering a piercing off Amazon. That's pathetic.
I think it's very practical.
Yeah.
It's very practical, but yeah. I know what you should do really is sneak over to Camden to
oh,
buy
I
the piercing.
I definitely tried to do that as
right.
well a few times.
Right, okay.
I just was remembering when, because I was already thinking about piercings, like mm-hmm. when you started saying that. And I remember a guy in Camden Market accused me of trying to steal. I got so told off just because I was going to buy a ring and then I like went into my pocket to get the money.
Yeah.
And he thought I was trying to steal the ring. And he like shouted and shouted.
Oh, God.
And do you know when you just get properly told off as like a teenager?
I hate being told off.
It's awful.
Worst telling off? Is that what, that's got to be the worst one.
That's got to be the worst one. And it was in public. Yes. And also, I guess everyone hates getting told off unless you're like, unless it's like your kink or something.
Some people might be into that.
Some people might be into that. And, and if this is one of you listening, you should head to Camden Market.
And read 50 Shades.
And start pocketing stuff, exactly.
Maybe take your goddess over to Camden Market.
Maybe there was part of me that read a bit of 50 Shades of Grey, read the first 10 pages and was like,
I want to go and punish myself.
I'm gonna get my belly button pierced. I'm the ripe old age of 16 now.
It's true. This is the thing. Even though you don't read it, it has these effects on you.
Yeah, you're like, I'm someone who owns 50 Shades of Grey now, so I might as well go down the path of deep, what's the word?
Yeah, shame.
Shame. No, shame. Let's go with shame.
Also, again, what I love about this is that is the... I mean, not to congratulate myself on the podcast, but it's to see, you can see the two different sides of you going on. So you've got the kind of, like you say, the pragmatic, I've got a piercing and I'm going to buy it. And this is me being a teenage rebel. And then a week later, you've got a skipping rope because obviously there's some sort of, I want to get fit, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So to get my belly out, it needs to be,
there you go.
It needs to be thin.
The practicalities of it.
That is life, isn't it? It's like you want to project a certain image, but it's constantly buying stuff off Amazon to try and
for £1.75. It's a pathetically small amount of money, isn't it? £1
for the skipping rope.
For skipping rope. Pre-Cozzy Lives. Skipping ropes were so much cheaper back in the day.
And then everyone was so happy because they were just skipping all the time.
Just skipping around. I can't. I mean, ashamed of this. I can't skip.
I don't think you should be ashamed because I feel like it's actually a skill that you have to learn and people kind of assume that it's like riding a bike or something. But this wouldn't have been that time, but I've done boxing training.
Oh, yeah.
And in that, they kind of teach you how to actually skip. Like I've had coaches who kind of, they kind of show, because I think a lot of people jump too high and then you end up getting really exhausted.
I give myself two black eyes on my knees.
Yeah.
Because I'm sort of throwing my legs. I can't do, and I'm not mal-coordinated.
Mm.
And yet I can do things. I can walk. I can run. I should be able to skip, right? And I see people who do it. That thing where they just do the tiniest
jump. Yeah,
you
just basically lift up your toes.
That's sexy.
It is cool.
Hot.
I can do a double skip. I can make the wires cross over. I don't think they're called wires.
When did you learn to do this?
It would have been in lockdown.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, just before lockdown, I went to Thailand. I did a boxing camp.
Thai boxing?
Yeah, Thai boxing.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Can you give me, in a sentence... If someone listening is like, I really want to be able to skip.
Mm-hmm.
What is the, and going to Thailand feels impractical.
Yeah.
Unless you're already in Thailand, hello to you. What is the best way to go about learning to skip? Can you do it in a minute? This feels like a challenge. I can see you glazing over.
Yeah.
I wish we got you a fully caffeinated coffee now. This could be brilliant.
What is in instructions on how to do it?
What's the trick? What's the skill? What am I doing?
Okay, let me lock in.
All right.
Okay, arms at right angles, actually in quite close to your body. Your wrists are really moving the most.
Yes.
Like you should not be moving your whole arms. It's more about moving.
I go full windmill. Okay.
Just wrists.
Thank you.
And then you're basically... almost like trotting, I would say, rather than jumping. It's just about picking up your feet. And I will say in Thailand, what they do is you do it barefoot. So then you get used to the feeling of the rope hitting your feet and it really hurts.
Ah, good.
So then it kind of punishes you into becoming better.
This is like Rocky III.
Yeah, exactly.
This is amazing.
Exactly.
Okay, fine. And then just keep going, keep at it.
Keep going and you will just know how to do it.
Did you
it
think
just
you'd
happens.
Be giving skipping lessons while you're on the show today?
No. No, I don't think I gave a skipping lesson.
I know,
there, really.
It's got me interested. It's piqued my interest. All right, fine. Skipping along then, elsewhere, look, we can see there's more stuff to do with the self-decoration, I want to say.
Dear.
Hair braiding. Small mini hair braiding elastics.
I bought some of those last week. You never grow out of these ideas that these things will suit you and they just don't.
Right. So what is that? That's to make...
To make like mini little... You might have like a mini plait in your hair.
Right.
And I guess it's sort of like a boho look. I will say I spent a lot of time on the website Tumblr.
Yep.
And Pinterest, you know, all these images of women who are... Let's be honest. Also, as a young bisexual, I was probably looking at these women thinking, deep down on a subconscious level, thinking, I fancy them.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you know? Or were
no.
You? Okay.
But obviously I was registering that as like, I guess I want to... have braids in my hair.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe I want to look like her, but actually I think it's just like she's fit.
I'm always fascinated by people who say that they didn't know that part of their sexuality. When was there a sudden moment? Was there an epiphany when you're like, oh no, I get it, I'm bisexual? Or was it just like a gradual thing?
It was both. It was gradual, and it was kind of like, there were definitely moments I fancied people, or fancied girls, like at school, at kind of uni, I guess, but I wouldn't term it in my head as fancying someone like I would with a guy.
Right.
And then everyone started saying they were bisexual at uni, and I was like, yeah, I'm bisexual, but I didn't really like process it.
Yeah.
And then eventually I was in a relationship that was, I think, coming to its natural end anyway. And I watched a video of like a lesbian singer and was like, oh.
Did you pause it? Like, guys.
Genuinely, yes.
A bit of an epiphany then.
And I was in a coffee shop in Thailand.
No.
And it was before I got on the plane, and this video had just come up. It was, and this is quite cringe because I don't think she's very cool anymore, but she was at the time. It was a singer called King Princess.
Okay.
And it was like a compilation video came up, and I just started watching it. And about 2 minutes in, I literally was like, paused it and was like, ah.
Wow.
Got some bad news for my boyfriend when I get home.
Wow. What a moment.
It was. It was a moment.
I think we should skip past scouting for girls, shouldn't we? Really?
We must. We must skip past scouting.
Poor scouting for girls.
I've seen them so many times.
Are you joking? What, because you live near them or live?
I've seen them live. They're scouting for girls and the Killers. I cannot stop seeing against my will.
Here's the thing about the Killers.
Yeah.
I really liked them when they were full on indie. And then they went a bit electronic and it all became a bit...
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I'd,
a bit less of an indie band.
I don't know, because I'm not a fan of them necessarily. I've just seen them live so many times.
Or by accident.
Yes. They're headlining every festival I go to.
Yeah, 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 that's
true. And I'm always there. I'm like, oh, I guess Mr. Brightside again, but like for the 40th time.
I love the Killers because after watching the Killers at Glastonbury 2008, one of the best gigs I've ever seen, as we left, they'd done "I Got Soul, But I'm Not." And as the crowd marched away, we all played a word game together, which was different versions of "I've Got Soul, But I'm Not a Soldier."
Oh, that's good.
"I've Got Toast, But I'm Not a Toaster." And it just went, and people were getting more. I wish I could remember some of them now, but they were so good.
That sounds really fun.
Like,
how big was the crowd?
Oh, like 80,000 people, but I don't know how big the queue was, but there was a lot of us chanting it as we left.
And how did you make sure everyone was synchronized, or did people kind of...
Someone would start it and go, I've got a ham, but I'm not a hamster.
That's like
yeah,
a joke.
Yeah,
like
I've got a ham. Someone would say it and then the whole crowd would start singing it for a bit and then it would go quiet.
That's amazing. That's the best
moment.
Bit of festivals, I think, is when like a sub game emerges and you go, wow, we're all... human.
Oh, wow. We're in on the in-joke, guys. September 2015, a Moleskine notebook. That suggests to me that you might be sniffing around stand-up comedy at this stage, even though you're still very young at this point, aren't you?
September 2015, that could have been... I might have... Do you know what? I don't know how public this information is, and I would ideally take it to my grave, but I did have a YouTube channel as a teenager.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Is it still available?
The only videos available on it are, oh God, one was basically, and this is a bit dark, so let me sort of, I guess, trigger warning for people, but one was me outing a sort of serial YouTuber rapist.
Oh, geez.
And that video is still up, just because why not? And the other video, the other video is a remix of the scene in Harry Potter when the guy goes, "Me mum's a muggle, me dad's a witch." And I remixed it into a dubstep song when I took my first like weed edible. And I've just left those two videos up.
That's quite the variety.
They're the only two videos you can watch. There were hundreds and hundreds of other videos.
Yeah.
I took them all down and I thought, do you know what? That summarizes me.
It's very important when you start a YouTube channel to be very consistent with the sort of thing you're putting out there. And you've really done that there. Okay, so you had a YouTube channel, so this would have been you. So obviously the desire to perform, to be an extrovert, that's always been there.
Yeah, right? And I guess I didn't know about stand-up necessarily at that age. But what I was trying to do on YouTube was essentially stand-up.
Yes.
I was just making videos that were like me talking to the camera saying jokes about a topic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think I probably was writing it in that Moleskine notebook.
And then when did you start doing stand-up live? When did that actually happen?
That would have been... My first ever gig was after I worked at the Edinburgh Fringe, which was... Oh. I worked at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2016, so it would have been end of 2016.
So you did Edinburgh, worked up there, watched
loads.
Yeah,
I was a receptionist and I saw so much stuff. And I didn't know about comedy. As you can tell, I wanted to be an actor. And then I saw comedy, I saw stand-up and was like, oh, I really want to do that instead.
And then it went so well very quickly as well. When was your first sort of moment of, because here you are, you're on Taskmaster. Mm-hmm. Is it at the moment or is that series finished?
Well, it depends when this comes out, but there's two episodes left at time of record.
Knowing how long it takes me to edit, you were on Taskmaster last year. So, which is you know, incredible, youngest ever on Taskmaster.
I think so. I think at least in the actual series.
And when was it when you got the bug doing stand up and you thought, oh, actually, I can do this?
First gig, I just died on my ass, and then I was fine, and I was like, oh right,
yeah.
If that's the worst that can happen,
yeah,
let's keep going.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful moment. How freeing is that?
And I think also when I met people and really got along with them, and I don't know if you had this experience as well, but I think like, I definitely felt like a bit of an outsider in every situation growing up, and then met other comics and was like, oh God, thank God I can relax. Like these are my people.
It feels like all my life I was a sort of spider walking along the living room floor, and then I finally got under the sofa and found everyone.
All the other freaks.
Guys!
Yeah.
This is where you've been. And I still, because I don't do stand up as much anymore, but I still, every time I do a gig, I'm like, these are my people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a wonderful moment. Look, elsewhere, 15th of September, the a Grey Shark pencil case.
Hell yeah. Is that a pencil case shaped like a shark?
It is a pencil case shaped like a shark.
Well,
I don't think you need to say more.
No. Need I say more? I'm keeping my pencils in. Oh, now I'm guessing this. The zip is the mouth.
That's a great question.
The zip has got to be the mouth.
Can I just point something out as well, which is upsetting about this?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too, you know, tub thumpy, if that's the right phrase here. Animal Boys Grey Shark Pencil Case. Ah. Can I show you?
As if.
And there's a pink one, and I'm assuming that's for... That's also for boys.
Okay, actually very progressive.
in which case, that's fine. Got to make the yin and yang.
As long as boys can have any colour, we're all good.
Yes, the zip is the mouth.
That is an awesome pencil case. I would like to get that back. I don't know where that's gone.
Well,
my pencil case at the moment is this boring sort of classy number from like a Japanese stationery shop.
The thing is, pathetic. We just need more pencil cases in life, because I think there's a lot of things that we depart formal education and think, yeah, I don't need a pencil case anymore.
Yeah.
Wrong. Keep a pencil case for life, because it's the joy and the sort of ritual of unzipping the shark's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And which sounds like a euphemism. And then like off you go. Like you should keep these things for life.
Yes. And I always have a pencil case and it never has any of my pens in it, because I take them out and then I put them in my pocket and then I put them at the bottom of my bag. So I always have a sort of pencil case with one pen in it that has stained the inside. So whenever put your hand in, your hand is blue or pink.
And then
the pencil case renders itself unusable.
Yes.
And then you have to buy a new one. And thus another cycle continues for life.
God. More capitalism is constantly winning, because it probably makes leaky pens on purpose.
Yes.
If anyone has had in their life a pencil case that isn't stained on the inside, truly they have to be a psychopath. That is the John Ronson's psychopath test. That's all you need to do.
Check out the
pencil case.
Oh God, do you know who does have that? My dad.
What, a clean?
My dad is like very, very neat, like all Muji. Like
comes
everything
the therapy
Muji.
Bit. Here we go. I see. All right.
Everything, you know, like
ordered.
I would always get really frustrated with him growing up, because he would have a to-do list when I went to stay with him. Parents divorced, that's obvious.
Okay.
He had a little to-do list that was like, he'd draw a box for a checklist.
Yeah.
And then he'd write something like, I don't know, like hang up laundry. And then when he'd completed that, he would cross it out. The box is not getting ticked.
He'd just cross out the words.
He'd cross out the whole thing.
So why draw the box?
Exactly. Let's call him up.
Why draw the box?
Why draw the box, Dad?
If you're going to cross the whole thing out.
Why did you leave? Why draw the box? Let's get some answers for once in our
life. I've got two questions. One's from Mum. One's from me. Toast to pod is the best in town. Chill out, mate, just simmer down. We don't judge you for what you bought. It's just a lesson to be taught. Now time to tell your stories. Here, please. Who's ashamed? Who's telling porkies? Doesn't matter what you say. On Toast to Pod, we're here to stay. Seriously, though, again, a way of gauging someone, how they do their to-do list.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I have... I always am trying to have a system that is on the brink of collapse. Nice. Like I have two separate notebooks. One is like a kind of more general one, and then one is like, okay, this is my day, this is my to-do's for the day, and then I have one for the week. Yeah. But then I don't have those on me. So then I also have like, sometimes I'm texting them to myself. Yeah. Sometimes I'm writing them in my notes app. Today I tried a new system, which was last night I was writing some stand-up ideas on a new note. And usually I would just keep that for stand-up and make it like a long list of stand-up. Mm-hmm. But then I thought, what if I put a to-do list in this? So next time I'm reading back, then there's a thing that I have to do.
Oh, no.
Do you think that's wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'll be in your creative flow and suddenly you'll be like, don't forget to fix that curtain.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Also, what you can do with stand-up is get the notes app and then put the dictation thing on and then talk into it. So you can kind of verbalize the bit of stand-up, but a bit.
Yeah, I can't think like that.
Mm.
Do you know, I try to sometimes go on walks and just record myself talking, but
if you're
self-conscious
though, if anyone sees you.
Yeah, I just stop and then but then I'm thinking about the idea in my head before I can say it. And then I'm like, and then it's like, oh, there's like 10 minutes of silence where I was thinking about the idea in my head instead of saying it out loud.
Yes, yes.
It's dumb as fuck.
It's completely ridiculous. And then you get on stage and do something completely different anyway.
Yeah.
All right, good. Elsewhere, you have bought face hair removal kit. A lot of hair featuring in there.
Hair is such a huge part of my life.
Massive.
Face hair removal kit. What
face
age was
hair
that?
Removal kit. Well, it's in 2016, so you tell me.
18, time to get rid of that moustache.
There you go. Moving on, guys.
You're a woman now.
Look, we haven't got long left and we're still back in 2017. So
okay.
Look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to absolutely crash on through, okay? So I'm going to go into present day Anya Magliano, right? Okay, and I'm going to see what's going on. 2023. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we are in 2023. Straight away, I can see sun cream.
Yep.
Sun cream, because that's what happens when you get older. You suddenly care about things like that.
You learn about skincare.
Yeah. You don't just take tablets like you were doing back in 20.
Yeah, you have to go outside in.
Exactly. And then you have bought, hang on, let's go right back to the beginning of 2023. This is lovely. This is lovely stuff. You really can see the different chapter. A Johnson's Vet for Fleas Room Fogger.
Yep, so I had fleas.
Okay. Hair.
Hair again. Well, this was actually the hair of my cat. And
good.
I think this is probably my previous cat who sadly died.
I'm so sorry.
But the fleas outlived him, which was a real painful part of the grieving process, was like, and yet I'm still in the battle because he was a sort of, you know, street cat who like loved to go out and like roam around, male, sort of owned the East London. He was like a gangster. Like my stepdad said he walked like he was in like Peaky Blinders or something. Like
right.
He like swaggered.
Yeah.
And so he always had fleas and we were always in this battle of like trying to deflee him, but he would go out and stay away for loads of time. And
how long would he be out for?
Like sometimes a week, but then I found out that this woman was feeding him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I literally went round to her house and was like, because I was going around with like a poster saying, have you seen this cat? And she was like, oh, no, that's not true. That actually, it was, I had put the posters up and then a neighbour of hers contacted me and dobbed her in.
Oh my God.
And was basically
anonymous
like,
tip off.
Yeah, it was basically like, I've seen her. I think she's feeding your cat. So I went round and I knocked on her.
Were you
her.
Pumped up when you were like full of adrenaline?
Yeah, I was like
argument.
Furious.
Yeah.
And by the way, this was like in a really nice part of East London, not where I was living, but he was going to the, like it was, she had like a full kind of town, like five floor, like really fancy house.
But that's like a proper gangster, like a sort of Tony Soprano. They're trying to go up in the world.
Yeah.
They're trying to be accepted by the gentrified classes.
Yeah, maybe. And I kind of said to her, I think I've heard that maybe you're feeding my cat. And then she was so cagey about it. And she goes, oh, well, no, because the one I'm feeding is a girl. And I was like, oh, right, no. So he is neutered, but he is a boy. His name is Otis. And she was like, no, it's a girl. I can just tell by her face. And I've been calling her Rosemary. And I was like, well, it's my cat. His name is Otis. And like, I kind of said like, maybe, and she took me into her house and I was like, and there were literally like food bowls and stuff. And he was coming into her garden and she was letting him in. And I was like, okay, well maybe could you stop feeding him because he's not coming home anymore.
Can you imagine if Otis had walked in while you were in there?
I don't think he did. I think she said, okay, next time he's here, I'll like call you. So then I had to go around and like collect him and bring him back. And genuinely, it was a sunny day. He was on the top floor bedroom of her house, spread out on her bed, like completely stretched out.
Oh my God.
asleep. And I was like, so he lives here? He's sleeping in your bed.
He has a secret life.
Yeah.
So was there a moment where you walked in and went, all right, mate? And did you feel a slightly Jeremy Kyle like intervention moment?
I felt like Lily Allen must feel. I don't know if that will still be a topical reference when this came
by the time this is edited. Lily Allen was a singer who 10 years ago released an album about her disastrous relationship. Wow, I love that. Another reason why, sorry to say, cats are arseholes.
No, you
they're
mustn't.
Dogs don't do that because dogs can't master getting out of a house without you.
That's true.
Dogs are trapped.
But also this wasn't, this is the thing, is that I don't think he was being an arsehole because I think this witch was seducing him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's a very sort of parental, my kids come home behaving badly, yeah. It's the school.
Yeah, exactly.
Not my kid.
Oh God, I can't wait to have that perspective.
Okay, interesting. Good. See, not only is this show looking at your past, we're looking into your future now as well. Look, we can see you've got cat collars here.
This is all when I was trying to get him to stay in the house.
Yeah.
As you can tell.
Yeah, I can see that. How to build your dream wardrobe, the curator. Closet, 22nd of February 2023.
Kind of part of, I guess, a constant battle to try and have less stuff, which is funny to be buying stuff on Amazon as part of that process.
Yes.
But like, I'm fundamentally not an organized person, but I can't accept that about myself. And I'm always trying to, I think I'm a person who, I don't know if everyone is like this, maybe they are, but I'm always striving for everything to finally be right. Yeah, and I'm finally like,
oh, that's profound.
I'll finally be,
yes.
I'll have the right wardrobe. And
the
I'll,
rock is very close to the top of the hill at
yeah,
this stage.
Yeah. I'll have the right wardrobe. Everything will be in its place.
Yes.
I'll have a capsule wardrobe maybe.
What's a capsule wardrobe?
So you just have like six things and they all go together and they're all perfect.
Wow. That's, yeah. No. That's that.
Do you not think that sounds like
no,
peace?
No, because that's just the total. That's the death of personality, isn't it? That's just
no. But the idea is that they're like your items are also so you can make like 20 different outfits,
like
with
a Rubik's cube, almost.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
Do all the different variations.
Exactly.
But still, no. Don't ever do that.
I want to do that now. I've just remembered it exists. I want to do it. I'm going to have to buy it on Amazon.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. There's different variations. But I think you've got to be...
But don't you think actually in real life, like there are only probably five clothes that really suit me anyway?
Yeah.
There are probably five things that like rock.
And do you think people only realise that when they get into their 60s, which is why they all wear beige?
Yeah.
Like life is just a constant, oh, maybe I'll... Ooh, and then, yeah. Oh, no. It was beige all along.
I'm already at beige a lot of the time.
Beige is lovely, actually.
Beige is actually great.
Beige.
It's a beautiful neutral tone.
You've bought a knife sharpener. 3rd of May 2023.
That would be something that would be a sort of that's something that my boyfriend would have wanted me to go.
But I'm seeing lovely domesticity happening here. We've got hand wash, we've got a drain unblocker.
This is relationship time.
From the dreams of the piercings and the books and the ideas to recycled bin liners.
Yeah.
This is your life.
Yeah.
And it's great.
God, that's bleak. Don't say that.
That's why I had to so quickly say, and it's great. You're on Taskmaster.
I'm
going
to have to go out and get a belly button piercing after this record.
Or you could use the garden cordless screwdriver if you want to do that. Maybe that's what
a nasty image.
What a horrible image that is. £35 here. But we see domesticity.
Yeah.
And do you love that? Are you embracing the nesting thing or are you kind of pushing against it?
I kind of hated it at first and I was really, really reluctant. Yeah. And I basically lived in squalor. Because I was like, if I live in a nice way, then I'm embracing domesticity. I'm basically embracing conservatism. I'm a Tory.
Right.
I'm right wing, etc.
Yeah, I see.
And I remember we had this whole thing of like, I started wanting to buy lamps because I was like, because me and Will were kind of thinking, oh, you know, that will make the lighting in the living room nicer if we have a lamp instead of this awful overhead light.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, fuck, if I buy a lamp, then am I like, I'm like a sort of trad wife. And yeah. I was saying this to one of my friends and he was like, I don't think it makes you like a bad feminist to want like low level lighting.
Yeah. But this is the problem that you've got. You see, as a centrist dad, I can sort of get away with doing it. I can go a little bit right, I can go a little bit left. But what you've got is principles and they're very dangerous because it means everything you do is a fucking negotiation.
Yeah, I don't know how many I have push comes to shove, but I definitely love to think I have them.
I think just slowly abandon them. But as long as you keep telling yourself, you're a nice person, it's absolutely
okay,
fine.
Okay, great. Patreon.com/toasterpod.
Talking of, you know, time moving on, and we are really up against it now. We're getting towards the end of this. And I've absolutely loved this. I mean, this has been such a lovely episode.
Oh, this is so fun.
The 1st of October, you've bought a foot massager for plantar fasciitis.
This was the thing that came through the door when I had the breakdown. This is it.
Look, in the beginning is the end. Wow.
Yeah.
So no wonder you were emotional. You had incoming, you know, hormonal things going on, and you had very painful feet.
Well, look, the truth is that I didn't. So basically what happens is there's a thing that happens in my life, which is someone will recommend something to me once and I'll be like, fuck, I need that. Mm-hmm. And that night I had done a gig. A comedian at the gig had said to me, they'd asked me about my shoes that I was wearing. And I was like, oh, I have to wear insoles because I have like bad feet. Or like kind of baddish feet.
It's all the skipping.
Yeah, it's all the skipping, exactly.
Screwed up your feet.
And we probably won't have time to go into this, but I'm having to strengthen my toes at the gym.
Okay, just a very quick toe tangent. How do you strengthen your toes? Is there like a toe room?
No, there's no toe room. You have to do it solo. You basically have a resistance band around the two big toes, and then you basically lift them up and down and then lift the other toes up independently.
I don't know why I'm laughing at that, but it is.
It's hilarious, because it's hilarious.
You're doing...
Like, I'm going to have the muscliest feet in comedy.
You're going to have... Yeah, Anya Magliani, yeah, she's got ripped toes.
When I take off my shoes... When I take off my top on the beach, nothing. When I take off my shoes on the beach, everyone is looking.
Wow. Did you have especially weak toes?
I don't have very strong arches in my feet.
Okay.
And so the kind of... I saw like a... She's kind of like a PT, but she's almost like a mobility person.
Yeah.
She's like a very flexible, fantastic lady called Autumn. And she basically was like, all the back pain and everything I was having at the ripe old age of 27, she was like, I think this is, your feet are collapsing in, then your knees are collapsing in, then your hips, you know, and blah, 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 the whole of your body.
Okay.
So it starts with the toes, according to her.
Wow. So, and you're going to work up every single muscle.
Yeah.
So by the time you're in your 50s,
she's going to be rich.
Your ears. Autumn is going to be absolutely minted.
Yeah.
That's great that someone called Autumn is telling you to do workout on your toes.
That's my life in a sentence.
It's you know, looking for answers constantly.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the shape they come in. So do you have plantar? Have you had plantar fasciitis?
No,
this wasn't
I don't
for that.
Have that. But right. This girl Zoe Brownstone at the gig said she was like, I have these things. They're amazing. Yeah. Obviously, I buy them before the conversation is finished.
Classic.
I've already bought them. I'm like, well, I need this. Of course, I need this. It's medical. It's going to solve my life.
So she's like thinking, God, Anya's rude. She's on her phone while I'm telling her about this.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
she's
yeah,
bought.
She's
the
bought
thing.
She's actually not rude. She's so deeply invested in what I'm saying that she hasn't waited for me to finish my explanation.
Do you always feel slightly embarrassed when you turn to them and go, I've got it? Do you know what I mean? Like they've told you about something and you go, look, this is how much I trust you.
It sort of is quite needy, isn't it?
Yes.
It's pathetic.
But I've done it myself many times with books, especially. You go, so, okay, who's the writer? Done it, bought
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of like going,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Are you obsessed with me?
Exactly. I love you so much. Look, I bought the thing. Maybe when I've read it, we can meet up again. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is that. So then these came through the door. Me and Will are having this. I'm having a breakdown. Also, I'm wearing them. So for the listener, I would say they're kind of like, they're almost like Birkenstocks, but shape-wise, but they're full of tiny little balls almost, so that they do hurt when you wear them.
Yeah.
And they make a clacking sound. So I'm like stomping around the kitchen being like, well, it's my money. I can choose what I want. And it's like... And he's like really trying not to laugh at me because he's like, we can't have an argument whilst you're in these shoes. And then I was like, well, you're not even allowed to borrow them. And then I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I think I was being unreasonable. And then he put them on for a bit.
Wow.
And now brilliant. They're in the back of the cupboard. Haven't used them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I hate myself. That makes me hate myself.
I'm just glad that you guys are still together, because imagine if you... Do you know what I mean? Imagine if it all ended over a pair of weird sliders, which is fundamentally what they are.
Yeah.
It's just...
But that's how it would go for me. Like, it would never end over something big. It would be something so small and petty that I would dig myself into a corner where I'd be like, well, my only way out is to end this.
There you go. Talking of ending this, we have to end this interview. But I'm going to find one more thing before we go.
Okay.
And again, you know, there's so many options here. Look, like what I'm going to do is give you the last three things you bought, because they're all wonderful. And you can choose, if you like, which one you want to talk about. And they all actually, I would suggest, signify different themes that we've talked about during the show. I say themes, your personality traits, really is a sort of broader way of saying it. Gold-plated emerald tiara, a magnetic to-do list planner thing, and a shark handheld cordless vacuum cleaner. Do you see? We have domesticity.
Wow, that's everything.
We have organization pushing back against the chaos.
Yes.
And we have beautiful things to go in your hair. Like,
yes. Well, tiara, let's quickly get that over and done with. That was Halloween costume.
Lovely.
To-do list, that's on the fridge. That one's on the fridge now.
God.
And it's to keep track of which vitamins I've taken. No biotin anymore.
Okay, we've moved on.
I think I've flooded my body with biotin in such an extreme way that it probably did more harm than good. Also, they were from Amazon, so they were definitely filled with chalk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And true what story. Was the last thing? Shark cordless vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, the shark
cordless vacuum cleaner. Yeah, I mean, I finally thought, like, let's get a proper Hoover. So and good. It's good. It does change your life.
Can I give you just, you know, I don't want to feel like an elder. Here,
mm-hmm. Oh, God, you must step into that role.
I want to give you some life advice to finish mm-hmm. with. And that is, with the shark, mm-hmm. do clean the filters.
Really?
Do clean the filters. Because our shark was a disaster. It was not working at all. And I clean the filters and it's like having a brand new Hoover.
Which is, what is the filters?
The filter is a bit, you open it up and it's the, it looks like a sort of grey sponge. And it's, all the air goes through the sponge and all the sort of tiny particulates get kept in the sponge before, because otherwise it would all just go and it would all go backwards and forwards.
Right. Okay.
So I would say, just please clean your filters. Because that way I feel like you've got something out of this interview.
That genuinely will change my life. There's no way I would have done that. Are you mad before? No, fuck no. But now you've told me to do it, I'm going to go home. I'm going to say to Will, you've got to clean the filters.
I would say 4 months, clean the filters.
Fuck.
Yeah. What I would do.
I'm going to have to buy something to remind me, like an alarm clock.
Well, maybe put it on the to-do list on the fridge. What I would also think about doing, don't tell Will, right? This is a key bit of life advice. Because the shark's going to break, right? It'll stop working.
And then I fix it.
Then you take over. You go, I'll deal with this. Get the filter out.
Fantastic.
Like a sponge. You squidge it under warm water, right? And it's disgusting. It's like black gunk.
God.
That would otherwise have been all over the place. And you will totally fix it. And you will be a hero. Then you will be able to legitimately wear the tiara that you've bought.
Okay, I'll wear the tiara. And I also will say, this is the last piece of content that I think will summarise who I am. That to-do list on the fridge is also, I wrote on it in Sharpie. So now it's just, luckily it was like some stuff that I have to do mostly every day, but it's never perfect. Coming off.
Perfect. There you go. You have a to-do list for life.
Yep.
Anya, thank you so much for coming on my
Thank you for having me. It's such a treat.
Your tour is, it's next year, isn't it? 2026.
It's next year. Exactly.
Okay, fine. Okay.
All dates and information, because there are some of them that are having to be moved. I'll just say all dates and information is on my website, anyamagliano.com.
There you go.
Or on my Instagram or wherever.
I'll put links in all the episode
There'll
descriptions.
There'll be links
I'm
somewhere.
Very on board with all that stuff. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Bye.
There you go. Episode 3 of Series 10 of My Mate Bought a Toaster is done. Thank you to Anya Magliano. There's clips. There's the whole episode on YouTube. If you want to just see that interview all over again rather than hear it, just go to youtube.com/@mymatebought a toaster. If you can subscribe, as I've said to you before, you know this. It really helps us. So if you get a moment, do. Talking of helping us, how would you like to join the Patreon? You would. Angela Scanlon is next week's guest. That's going to be up on Patreon very, very soon. Patreon.com/toasterpod. It's £3 a month. We put the episodes up as early as possible, and it helps raise funds to make future guest bookings, because that's the thing that costs. Not the actual guests, who, by the way, all do it for free. Actually, it's getting a booker, getting someone to get out there and make all the emails and get someone in the room is a huge, huge resource that a lot of podcasts have, and it's not one that I have, because this is a thoroughly independent podcast. So anything you can do to help us is... Stop saying us, Tom. Anything you can do to help me really, really helps. So patreon.com/toasterpod. Thank you. I'll be back on Thursday, avec my wife, to go through some of the highlights of today's episode. I mean, to-do lists, really. I'm obsessed with that. Why would you cross off the whole thing? Just tick the box. Just tick the box, Anya's dad. So Beth and I will be back on Thursday. In the meantime, any questions or queries or just, you know, words that you've got for me, tom@toasterpod.com. See you Thursday. Lots of love. All the best. Kind regards. It's my mate. What a toaster. Oh, it's my mate.